Welcome everyone to the Proven Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Church. I'm a music producer from Northeast Ohio. I began this weekly interview series to give you different perspectives from artists, producers, engineers, and other individuals in the music industry. In each episode, we touch on not only what has helped the person succeed, but we also touch on what has shaped them into the person that they are today. I hope you're able to gain some real proven knowledge from the show, and that it helps elevate you on your own journey to success as well. Let's get into it. Welcome everyone to episode 187 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. This is the Creator Series. Today I welcomed an LA artist. Her name is Zay. We got in touch probably a couple years ago, just following each other indirectly through social media, and we got in touch recently about having her on the show. Definitely was a great inspirational conversation. She talked about how music has been involved in her life pretty much since the beginning and how it's progressed to the last 5 or 6 years of her life, taking it very seriously as an artist, the different collaborations she's done recently, most notably the EP called I'm Good with Danny Zico. She talked about the time they spent in the studio, what she learned from him as an engineer and as an artist, just the dynamics that they had and the compatibility they had together, what she has planned for 2024, and really just a lot of cool gems in this episode about life in general and betting on yourself. I think that's the biggest theme of this whole episode, is just keep betting on yourself no matter what, and really trusting your gut in your journey and what you believe in. So without further ado, let's get into this one. Welcome everyone to episode 187 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. Today we have a really dope artist, another LA artist, someone that I've been in touch with at least for a couple years, like we just said. Zay is here. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here and to be saying my truth.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for, you know, wanting to be on the show. And to start off every episode, we have the guest give some background. You know, how long have you been doing music? How'd you get into it initially, for those that might not know you and what you do?
Yeah, so I have been singing essentially my whole life. I am from Los Angeles, primarily within the San Gabriel Valley, kind of like in the 626 area. And I have been singing since I was a child. I've been like involved in church, always like down to do karaoke since I was little, like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And then big on it in high school, middle school, college, and then eventually like just diving in and kind of doing it at shows. I think I did my first show when I was like freshly 18, and I wasn't even like allowed to stay at the venue. Like, they were like, you're under 21, so you can perform, but then you gotta leave right after.
Yeah.
So I'm 31 now, and I've seriously been doing this now for about 6 years. Mm. So like in like 25, I really like invested into like, actually, I'm like pretty anti pay to play, but I paid to do a show with MERS and then another show with Blue in Exile. And that like blew up my career. That was like the catalyst for, you know, actually like seriously making music and doing big shows and opening up for like Gonna Hell the Rapper, and like leading to things like working with Val 9 and working with, you know, big artists like MERS and things like that. Mm-hmm. And Living Legends, and really just, you know, kind of creating a foundation for myself. I've been in a couple of groups. I've removed myself from these groups. I'm currently in a rap group right now with two other women, and really just kind of taking my music by the horns right now, because like I've said, I've been doing it seriously for 6 years. I've dropped a couple of projects, but it's been hard to like really like consistently like create and consistently drop full projects, you know. So that's what I'm currently working on. I love to like work within the community. People like definitely know me for, you know, creating like community-based shows or putting women, POC women, at the forefront and working heavily within like the Southeast LA community. for a very long time, I did live in Southeast LA and within Boyle Heights, which is primarily East LA. And yeah, that's kind of the gist of who I am. I rap, I sing, I'm trying to produce. I've curated shows where like hundreds of people attend, and it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun wild ride.
Yeah, so it's kind of safe to say you've been like involved your whole life then in music, like some way, shape, or form, and then it's kind of just evolved like one thing after another into what it is now. So that's super cool. And who knows what the next like 30 years of your life is going to be in that regard too. So
yeah, I really don't know. I've always had a dream of like kind of like being an A&R or like putting something together where it's available to the youth or like at-risk youth within, you know, this metropolitan area that I'm in, because I don't live in like the hood, you know, but I do definitely live in an area where I think just all of LA, like all of Central LA, is just becoming so kind of poisoned, I want to say, not by anything in particular, but it's just so unsafe now. I feel like that's just everywhere, and I would love to eventually put something together where it like is the fundamentals of youth skateboarders and musicians and being able to have like a safe space for the youth to be able to just express themselves. I feel like there's a lot of places that don't necessarily have that intertwined, and that's my dream. I would eventually love to have like a startup company within the next 10 years and have it be focused on that.
That's super awesome. And I know that's one of my questions towards the end as well. We'll get into like more future goals as well. And I think that's super great, because I think as artists, you know, we can do a lot through music, but I feel like it's just like the very surface level, like what you could do through your songs. You can do so much more through those acts of giving back in that way. So that's super vital. And I think that's going to be great for you to be able to do that as well in the future. But as far as, because I know you just mentioned something that I think a lot of people struggle with, is finding time to create, especially when you get older and you have more responsibilities, you have more things going on in your day-to-day life. What do you think that's been like recently for you, and how have you overcome that to be able to continue to find balance? Like, how are you finding balance in your life with creativity and everything else?
At some point, there was no balance. At some point, I was just having this conversation with my sister, like, because I recently got into it with one of my parents about like music and stuff, and it's like there was a point in my life where I was like, "Fuck work, I don't want to be working. I just want to do music," and it really like sunk me into this like downward spiral of not necessarily it not working, but it's really hard to capitalize off music, and it's very hard to monetize and make a living wage off of it, you know. And you know, I saw your post about, you know, hobbies and having hobbies and things like that, and I also work from home, so it is hard to even just find a balance in that. Like, sometimes I will find myself stuck inside all day, and I'm like, oh my god, I haven't even gone outside to like breathe fresh air. And I do feel like having that balance is very crucial, because some people want themselves to immerse with who the artist actually is. Like, I'm Yasmin, but I'm also Zay, and I really try and not have the two fused together, because I have lost myself in becoming Zay and totally just kind of like not been able to find Yasmin and find the purpose within that. And I read, I meditate, I garden, and it's like, when you're a normal person and your hobby is music, that's your hobby. But when you're a person who's also a performing artist and trying to take it seriously, then it's no longer just a hobby, you know? Because I have friends who play guitar and, like, they just play it here and there. They bring it out during family events, you know, and they're like, no, and it's, so yeah, he's good at guitar. But, like, in my sense, you know, I've been singing and doing, I've done over 1,000 shows in my timeline since having started. So well over 1,000, maybe even 2,000-3,000 at this point in my life. But having to find the time to create a balance, and I just had a session with the homie Nug Life, excuse me, and I was telling him, you know, like, it's hard to make music when it stops feeling fun. You know, like, once it stops feeling fun, it's like, it's just for a check or a bag or the numbers or the streams. And I've put myself through a couple of labels, you know, where I've had a manager be on me, like, why aren't you dropping? And it's like, because it's a job now, you know, like everybody says, when the job doesn't feel like a job, it's easier to do, you know? So I've made the promise to myself where if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. You know, if it's not feeling like there were times in the studio where I would just come up with the hook and it would feel so right. And I would like chant it all day and feel so happy, like, wow, like, oh my God, I just came up with this concept. And then fast forward to a couple, cause I had a song hit 1 million streams with my homie Nug Life, who I was just talking about. And after that, it's like, okay, the pressure's on. You have a song that's hit 1 million streams. Your next song can't just hit 4,000 streams. You know, like, you have to, like, aim bigger and higher. And I'm a pretty competitive person, so I definitely want to upsize what I've just previously done. But at the same time, just kind of going back to your initial question, the balance has been very hard. But I think even if you're not an artist, that balance is hard. You know, like, if you, like, dedicate yourself to your 9-to-5, it's very hard to pull yourself out of that, you know, office mindset and go to the gym or do whatever the case may be, you know. But I have been working on self-discipline. I do my work. I try and meditate throughout the day. I do my exercise, and I try and journal. And that's kind of been the gist of my life recently.
You kind of just your best to make it work, you know what I mean, depending on what stage of life you're at too. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it. Everybody's in such a rush to get to, like, what they want or what they're looking to do, but then it's like, when you slow things down, you start taking it day to day, it becomes a lot easier to make the progress. And then you'll look back like a year or two from now and be like, wow, I really did come so far from where I was and the goals that I had for myself. And I think everybody can kind of take from what you just said and relate to it in their own way too, because it really is. And everybody's schedules are different. Like, everybody's lifestyles are different too. It's just like finding that, like you said, keeping the joy at the center of everything. That's like the biggest thing. And I agree with you, because if it ever felt like it was just like the 9-to-5, it's like I could just go get any other job at that point. You know what I mean? It's not serving me and my soul at that point. You know what I mean? And I think the beauty of, like, art and music is that it can do that. It can enrich us, but it can also enrich the people that hear it. You know what I mean? And give back in that way. So definitely super, super vital. And thank you for sharing that and part of your journey there. That's super, super great. So one of the projects that you dropped in 2023, because by the time this comes out, we'll be at the top of 2024. So kind of recapping last year, you had the EP called I'm Good with Danny Zico. How did that whole thing come together? You know, how did you meet Danny? How did you get connected with him? And, you know, what was your favorite part about the collaboration, I'd say, and doing the project?
The favorite part is that it actually finally came to happen. Oh. I've known Danny Zico for 7 years.
Wow.
And we have always wanted to make music together. He actually used to go by a different alias named Praise, and he used to only rap, and would throw in his own hooks here and there, but I was, like, blown away the first time I had seen him. And same thing with me. The first time he had seen me, he was like, dude, like, what? And so we had been trying to make music, and we came together during the pandemic, because not a lot of, I actually had a lockout studio with Royal Rehearsal out here in Boyle Heights, and they shut down our studio during the pandemic. I had literally just learned how to, like, run myself on Logic and learn how to record myself, and I was so ready to start, like, recording my new album, and then they're like, sorry, you guys can't record no more. So I was like, okay, I guess. Then, like, within a year into the pandemic, I was like, dude, let's just link and let's just see what happens. We link up, and then he's like, dude, let me just make something. We'll try something out. And then we made that song, Mangoes and Limes. Mm-hmm. That's actually him on the guitar. And Danny Zico went to LA Film School and really worked that degree because he is one of the best engineers I have ever had in my life. No shade to any other engineer that I've worked with, but he is probably the best engineer who really can map out my voice on a template because he's also a singer. I feel like as a rapper, going to all these studios where they mostly work with rappers doesn't help you as an R&B artist. I've had a couple of producers or engineers be like, I have a template for you for your voice, and I love hearing that. I love when engineers are like, oh, I made you a template. It's like, perfect. You know exactly what my voice needs. But there are times where I've recorded with rapping engineers, and it's like, there's so much going on, you can't even tell what's going on with my voice. So my favorite part about Danny is that we really 50-50'd that project. Like, we really went in. We did all the songs in the studio together. We didn't write anything outside of the studio. We didn't, like, come up with ideas outside of the session. We did everything together within the Room Z, which is the studio in Canoga Park. And I think my favorite part about that is, like, we were, like, forced to become good friends during this because he's, again, very busy. I'm very busy. So our sessions would start at, like, 9 o'clock and go to, like, 5 in the morning. And at one point, I was like, we should call this album The Delusionals because every time I leave here, I'm, like, so stir-crazy from how much work we've done within the, like, going into the early morning. Uh-huh. And I love this project because it's my first full singing project. I've never had a project where I'm just singing. All of my projects are rapping and singing or sing song and like kind of draking a little bit where it's like sing rap, but I've never actually had an album with just my vocals. And he actually taught me the beauty of a little bit of auto-tune, you know, like there's nothing heavy on there. Like I'm not, you know, summer walking it. And that's what people really don't understand about these new R&B artists is there's so much auto-tune that it sounds so natural. But he cleaned everything up, and I'm so happy that this project is out. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's an embodiment of like what I'm trying to achieve as not a new artist, but like within my new form of artistry. Like I love it, and my favorite part of it was it actually happening, because at some point I was like, bro, either we drop it now or it comes out in 2024. You know, like, either we get this done now or it never happened.
Yeah.
So we made it work, and it came out.
Hey there, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a quick minute out to let you know about a couple different ways that you can support the podcast. One of the ways is by clicking that support the podcast button within your streaming platform. That is if you want to be a monthly supporter of the show. You can contribute either 99 cents, $5, or $10 a month. So that's the first way, and that's the more traditional way that we've had now for the last couple years. The other method that we actually just recently introduced is from our good friends over at Ko-fi. Ko-fi is a virtual tip jar. We have set our limit to a minimum of $10, but you can go make one-time, one-off donations. So if you visit ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast, you'll be able to donate. And all these different forms of donation go towards getting new guests every single week, getting potential sponsors on board to do giveaways, and overall just making the show better for you guys. So if you want to do that Ko-fi link, it's ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast. Otherwise, again, look for that support the podcast button in your streaming platform if you'd like to be a monthly supporter. And I just want to say thank you guys for your contributions. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. So it sounds like it was worth the wait then, for sure, the 7 years. Yeah. And how many years did you guys work on it? Was it like 2 years then of like since the pandemic? Yeah. Was it that full like 2 or 3 years putting it together?
Yes, it was 2 years. And I was like, bro, let's just drop a single at least, you know, like let's just put something out. But again, you know, like when you're an artist, I feel like you're your own biggest critic, and like that's one of the toughest things that like being an artist comes with is there's so much self-doubt, you know, and so much comparison with how social media works. You know, there's, oh well, that person's dropped five albums in the year and this, like, it doesn't matter what they're doing, you know, like, it, all that matters is what you're doing. So the album really pushed, the EP really pushed me to just get it done. And now with all the project that I'm doing, I'm like, I just want to get it out there. I'm tired of sound music. People need to hear this, and I'm going to toss it out there.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Kind of getting in, like, a good workflow for yourself, setting that schedule, too, which is great. And I agree with that, is that everybody is on their own journey. You know what I mean? It's easy to look at everybody else and what they're doing, but at the end of the day, you can only look out for yourself, you know what I mean, and what you're doing. So, and that kind of leads me into the next question. You kind of just answered it a little bit, but as far as like social media goes, or just like putting the music out there in that way, creating content, all that stuff, how do you view that for yourself as an artist? Are you doing stuff every day, or you're just doing things that feel right to you and having that aligned with the music and kind of putting it out when it feels right?
I think that's a tough question, because there are so many people that have, like, found their niche on social with content, and that works for them. But I do so many things. Like, I cook, I have a cat, like, I deal with anxiety and depression, I'm the eldest daughter. Like, there's so many there's so many attributes to me that I feel like I can work off of. And that's what makes content hard. Because it's like, at one point, my TikTok was about my journey with depression. And at one point, like, I was in this very, very... My grandma passed away last Christmas, like, on Christmas Day. And that really put me in, like, a state of... I had never experienced depression like that in my life. Like, I've always had anxiety, and I've always, like, been able to naturally treat it. But the depression that came with losing my grandma, who essentially raised me, like, just put me in this deep, dark hole. I didn't go to work for, like, 3 weeks. You know, I didn't want to do anything. I just, like, felt so not myself. And I tried to, like, go on TikTok and, like, record myself coming out of that. And then I became hella depressed again and was like, I don't even want to do this. You know, so... I think the hardest part is just finding one thing that you're kind of good at and then going off of that. I think that a lot of artists are successful with content because they somehow tie it into who they are, like, personality-wise. And I could just be speaking, like, out of doubt, because I could probably post all types of stuff and it worked for me. But, again, if you're an artist... why aren't you posting about your artistry? You know, like, why would you need to post about the fact that you can knit or the fact that you have a tortoise? You know, like, just random stuff. And, you know, we see it all the time, but I think I actually really like making content. I love being in front of the camera. I love being the center of attention. Like, I love being on stage, you know, but I'm good at the admin stuff. Within my group, Brujas Brew, I'm actually very good at the admin stuff. I'm always the one posting the reels, posting the content. I know about, you know, the meta and like, pretty much meta and Facebook and how ad space works and using your analytics to action. I actually used to do social media for a restaurant, so that's where I kind of learned all this stuff and applied it. But it's hard because... some of the dumbest stuff goes viral nowadays, and it's like, damn, do I really gotta, like, dress up like a crazy person and do all these crazy things for things to hit, you know? So yeah, I like social media. I do feel like it is now a demand within your artistry. Like, I do feel like you can't avoid it, and if you avoid it, then, you know, good luck. But then again, there are artists, like, you know, there's an artist, his name's Young Morpheus. Oh, here comes my cat. His name's Young Morpheus. I really, really enjoy his stuff. And he's never out in front of the camera. He's never, like, posting all these cheesy things. And he's killing it with his social media presence, you know? So I think it's like, it depends on the artist. Mm-hmm. And I think it also depends on their comfortability. But I think doing nothing at all is bad. Like, I think I think you at some point do need to, like, get in front of the camera, talk about what you're doing. And I'm never scared to do that. I'm always like, all right, down. Mm-hmm. Throw me in front of the camera. I'll talk to people.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what we said earlier. It's just finding what works for you, too. Everybody has their own thing. You know what I mean? And social media is no different. I think it's like you just got to find what feels right, too. Because I got to that point with content. I was like, I could do all the things that everybody else is doing too, but then that doesn't feel like me, like authentic to me. So I'd rather be able to tell my story in my own way and just see, you know, who that can attract and things like that. And I always love the different perspective on it, because I think it'll be a never-ending debate, you know what I mean, as far as like how we're using social media and how it changes over time. So we'll just see what happens, but definitely appreciate your perspective on that. And as we begin 2024, I'm sure that you have, I don't know if you have music already lined up for 2024, or you have like goals. What do you think you want to reveal as far as what we can expect, you know, as the new year begins and what you're looking to do?
Yeah, I have actually like a whole project lined up for 2024. I have a 2-piece project with my friends Daniel James and Brian G from Apollo Bebop. And Apollo Bebop is like this super sick multifaceted band from the OC. And Daniel James is insane. He's super dope. He can sing, he can rap, he can DJ, produce. So that's a little more up-tempo, funky dance stuff. My man actually does like a lot of house music, and we have a couple of house tracks together, and that's ultimately like the area in which I'd like to go. I've always been told that my voice is very marketable and can be kind of commercialized, and I don't mind doing that. I am a part of a non-exclusive label called Hard Drive, and I've been working with a lot of like neo soul producers and like really heavy like grown folk R&B. And that's like kind of the direction I'd like to step into too. Like, I'm really trying to just, as they, not rap as much. But I'm also part of Brujas Brew, which is the collective of women that I'm in. And we're all rappers. Like, we be rapping our ass off in that crew. And we just did a song with Nug Life, and it is insane. And the goals that I have are to not beat myself up for what I don't. Like, I really just want to go into this year with my head up high and dropping what I can, what I will, what I can invest in. Because this last year I was like, oh my God, I haven't done anything. Like, all these people have done all this stuff and I haven't been able to do this, and I'm a crappy artist because, and it's like, no, like this year I'm going to drop what I can drop. I'm going to put out what I can put out, and either people are going to be happy with it or they're not, you know? And I've always been told by people like, oh my God, you're super busy. Oh my God, you always got something going on. You're always moving and still feeling like I'm not doing enough, you know? And this year, I'm going to do what I normally do with shows, with music, and tell myself it's okay to just do that. Because I think the issue that I've had before is I put myself on this, like, I put myself in the situation where I double book myself, I really overextend, and I end up paying for it in the end, you know. Like, I'm 31 and I feel it a little bit. Like, I'm not like hunching over with a cane, but I do feel it in my body, you know, getting older, not being able to. I was falling asleep in the studio the other night, and I was like, this has never happened to me. You know, like, we were in the studio till like 1:30 in the morning, and I was dying. And I was like, wow, like, this has never really happened to me, you know? Like, I've always been a very upbeat artist, down for the studio at any time. There were times where I'd get to the studio till like 4 or 5 in the morning with Daniel, like I'd said. But yeah, I think about just my goal for 2024 is to create music in a healthy way, and not to the point where it's like pressure. Like, yes, apply pressure, but I'm dope. I don't gotta drop 3,000 songs to get, you know, to get people to listen to me. Like, my voice is dope, my artistry is dope, like, who I am as a person, I'm dope as fuck. And like, people are either gonna recognize that or they're not. Like, I'm not meant for everybody, you know. I'm not meant for everybody to listen to. But there are also people who are like, oh, my dad just died, and your song just really just put me in a whole new, like, mindset for the year. And it's like, wow, you know, like, and I held on that song that I just did with Nug Life, the Just Like Heaven song. I held on to that for years because I was so anxious of what people were going to think about it. But it's like, this year, nothing's being held back. But at the same time, I'm going to keep it healthy for my own sake.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing you can do, honestly. And being able to just stay present, too, which I think you could do that, you know, everybody can kind of take that and do that in their own way, in their own lives as well. It's just, I think we want to look ahead so much, and then we kind of, like, miss out on now. So it's like doing that, especially in your music, is going to be super awesome. So congrats on that, and that, you know, being able to do that for yourself. So last few questions here, and these are ones I ask on every episode. First one is, if you could go back 10 years ago, maybe give yourself a piece of advice, or maybe not change anything at all, what do you think you would do?
So I am a college dropout. I was going to a pretty prestigious school, and it was pretty unhealthy. Like, I was working full-time, going to school full-time, and then I just said, screw it, and stopped, and then started making music, or started seriously making, doing shows and stuff like that. Because, like I said, I've been doing shows since I was 18. I really wish I just would have stayed in school. Because I feel like I would have been able to really help my community now because 10 years ago I was 21. So by 21, I've already would have had my degree, and who knows what 10 years of a degree would have done for me, you know? So I do wish I would have stayed in school. I do wish I just would have duked it out and thugged it out and make it happen for myself. But I'm actually starting school again, this year. And yeah, I think 10 years ago, I should have just told myself to just really focus on the things that will help me in my future, because right now I'm not necessarily paying for it, but I am having to learn things later on in life that I probably should have learned when I was younger. So yeah, I wish I would have stayed in school. That's one thing I always beat my. But what can I do? You know, like, I'm going back to school. I literally have orientation right after this. So I'm still going to get that degree.
Yeah. Well, early congrats on that. And I think that's the good thing about, especially colleges, you can go whenever. I mean, when I was at community college, I saw people that were 60 years old in there. I'm like, good for you. Like, you're trying to do this. You care about getting the degree and everything. Like, that's good. And so congrats on that. Early congrats. Super cool. So, and I think you kind of answered this one earlier, but if there's anything else you want to add to this, feel free. And that is, 10 years from now, what do you think your big goals are? What do you envision for music, life in general?
Right. So I'm trying to land a sync. That is, like, what I'm really trying to do. And working with Hard Drive has actually helped me. Shout out to the homie Gio. He told me, you know, the biggest thing about landing syncs is how much is in your arsenal. You know, like, if you have 15 songs in your SoundCloud and your Spotify, that ain't gonna work. You know, like, I do see myself landing syncs, doing commercials, you know, doing theme songs for shows and things like that, and commercializing myself, and also, like I had said, you know, creating that link between the youth, skateboarding, and making music. Like, just creating a safe space, because growing up, like, I think I come from that middle area where, like, I wasn't born with, like, a phone in my hand. I was definitely still playing outside and playing out till the sun went down, and, you know, having my group of friends and skating and even singing at that age, you know. But I really wish there was, like, a hub or, like, somewhere I could have gone to really express that. Because, yeah, my family was supportive, but who knows what I could have done as a child with that, you know? So definitely being able to, like, kind of have the youth and put them in the right direction and allow them to take their creativities or their dreams of skating, because I feel like skateboarding is kind of looked down upon still, very much so, in the sense where it's like, oh, it's not a real passion, or it's just a hobby, and, like, it's not true. There's actually people who've really been able to change their lives and turn their lives around with it. So I would love to do that. And in 10 years I'll be 41. So I'm really hoping that by 41, all of this shit is taken care of, and I'm hoping to have some babies and be married by then, and, you know, be that mom who's like, sorry, I got a tour in Paris and all the kids, and, you know, I would still love to do music by then. Like, I would have my music, have land, you know, help the community still, and potentially be a mom, and, you know, like, doing, being super mom in that sense, you know. But yeah, that's, I would love to still be doing music, have a family, not settle down, you know. Like, I don't think you need to settle down nowadays to actually have a family and be married. I think that you can still follow your dreams and have that.
Yeah. Being able to see everything come to fruition and have a prosperous life, I think that's best goal you can have. So, again, I think you're going to get there. So, congrats on all that.
Thanks.
And do you have any final words of wisdom today for the listeners?
Let's see. So for a word of wisdom, just don't compare yourself to nobody else. It's so easy to, like, as a female artist, as a woman, it is very easy to see, oh, that person looks so good, and that person is on the cover of this magazine, and that person just dropped a single and they got like 30,000 streams. Like, don't do that. Like, take in your artistry and hone it in and rein it in and really run with it. Like, if some, and another thing that I will never do is allow a broke person to tell me how to make my money, because there have been so many people who are broke in this industry who are like, do this and la la la. And it's like, bro, you don't even have a car. What you talking about? So my biggest things are, be yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. And if what you're doing for you works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Keep betting on yourself. That, I think, is the biggest thing you can do.
That, at the end of the day, that's all you have.
Exactly.
You know, like, unless you're an A&R, then okay, look out for your artist. Yeah. You know, unless you're an A&R and you really are able to see the talent in someone, then by all means. And even with that, that's tricky, because I've dealt with A&Rs who have, one, there's been A&Rs who have helped me, and then there have been A&Rs who have done nothing but make my artistry living hell. So, but yeah, be you. Don't compare yourself to others. And if things are working for you, keep running with
them. Absolutely. Can't agree more. And I got to say, Zay, I appreciate it so much. Once again, for you agreeing to be on the episode today. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well. We'll have to do it again soon. So, thanks everyone for listening today. That was episode 187. We'll be back this time next week. As always, hit the support button on your podcast streaming platform if you'd like to send any funds. And feel free to leave us that 5-star rating if you enjoyed today's episode. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.